Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Say Less Pod. I know it has been a while, and if you haven't been around, I'm your host, Caroline. So, here's the thing. Life has been crazy. 2024, what a year, what a time to be alive. Went through some things, went through some healing that I needed, and I'm back. And also, if you can see, this is also, like, the first one that I've actually, like, videoed, actually. So, most of them are not video, like, most of them are just audio version. So, anyway, with that being said, hope you enjoy this, and even if there's, like, other topics that you kind of want to know, or... yeah, that I can kind of touch on. So, also, like, pay no attention to this. That is just because I had no idea how to use my curling iron the other day. Because I know some people, even, like, my work buddies, have been very stressed out about that. So, I have been thinking about this episode for a while. But it's also an episode that I kind of was... thinking about struggling to put out there, just because I wanted to make sure that I was in the clear, and because this is a lot, and it's not trying to go against any, like, one individual or anything of that nature, but we're going to be talking about rejection. Specifically, like, the body rejecting other individuals, and if that is even possible. Some people say your body doesn't necessarily reject individuals, or you cannot control how other people make you feel. Like, they can't make you angry. And in a lot of ways, I do agree with that. There's no one person that can settle the score, so to speak, of making you have... quote unquote, that dog in you, that fight or flight. Not the fight or flight. We'll get to that in just a minute. But that fight in you of having that reaction. You are responsible for your own reactions to things. However, there's been some research on it, and some people, most of it is just social media, just telling you, hey, your body can reject people, and these are the ways that it can. So we will be going over some of those details. But yeah, no one can make you feel a certain way. There are certain responses that can be elicited whenever around that individual, though. And... for one, that can't also be through exposure. Like, if you were constantly exposed to, even from a young age, exposed to individuals who didn't treat you with respect, who constantly had you on edge, sometimes, and you were walking on eggshells, never knowing if you were enough, having this devaluation, you can think that's what you deserve as you get older. I know a lot of times, even looking back at my own life, I didn't necessarily know my worth, and I didn't know where my value came from. So I would seek validation out with other people and seek validation in other things. And sometimes it got me in trouble. I'm trying to be better at keeping things, like, a little bit PG, but sometimes it did get in trouble, and that is stuff that sometimes, you know, you have to work through. You have to be willing to put in the effort and the work, because otherwise, as the saying goes, if you do not heal, you are going to bleed on people that never cut you in the beginning. Now, I also believe that even though that is true, and you have to be willing to put forth the work, there are some times that you are not going to be truly healed completely from certain things. You may not reach the other side, but you can be in the healing journey and the healing process. Because sometimes people think in order for you to experience love, especially romantic love, you have to be on this other side of the arena. And that's, I used to be in that position, because that's what I had been told. Like, it's like no one will ever, I hate to say it, but some people had said no one will ever love you until you are healed. And so sometimes exposure can kind of bring that about. And like I say, if you were used to controlling individuals, then you may not see things as necessarily like healthy. Even when someone is trying to help you out, even when a boss or a coworker has good intentions, you are constantly looking through it through your past lens. You're like, what are they up to? What is their ulterior motive here? When maybe they don't actually have one. Maybe they are trying to help you, and even like with simple tasks. Because in your job, you're going to have them. You're going to have tasks that you have to do, tasks that you don't like, and maybe someone's better at it than you are. And that doesn't mean anything. It just means, okay, these are the steps that I have to take. Also, society, the way that we have even viewed ourselves, or the way that we grew up, that can play a part in it. I'm a big nature versus nurture. I believe that it's a little bit of both. It's not completely your genes, which is the nature aspect of things. And then nurture is the environment, the way that you grew up. If a lot of people grew up in religious households, and I am putting the emphasis on religious households because I do know that there is religious trauma, sometimes there were some ideologies that were maybe pushed that told you this is how you experience love, this is how you need to gain love if you want to be accepted, if you want to be understood. I mean, there were several misconceptions there, and it wasn't necessarily like all from family influences. It was individuals that maybe should have had protection, or that I should have been protected from, but no one ever knew. And you kind of develop this learned helplessness, because I'm like, okay, in order for someone to truly love me, you just kind of have to give up pieces of yourself. And I feel like a lot of, especially individuals, some of like my individuals my age especially, they struggle with that. They struggle with wanting to know where the line is of, and I'm going to speak from like the female experience, because that's pretty much all I know. And I know, I do know guys and dudes struggle with it too. So I'm not saying it's just one way, but I'm just saying, I know that a lot of girls my age, they're like, okay, for this guy to like me, I have to send the pictures. I have to seek their validation. I have to you you have to say the right things. You can't really have an opinion on anything if you don't want a reaction, if you don't want things to hit the ceiling. Also, if you want to be in, like, one piece, and I know that is not, I want you to know, like, if you feel like you have to sacrifice aspects of yourself or minimize areas of yourself in order for people to love you, then, like, you, for one, it's not that you're doing it wrong. It's just that that is not true love. And I wish someone, like, had told me that, like, earlier in life. And that I didn't have to, like, sometimes you have to figure things out on your own. But, and to be honest, I'm very hard-headed. So some things, I don't know if I would have listened if anybody had told me that you don't have to do those things in order, or not even, also coercion's not love, which took me a long time to realize that too. If someone is kind of bridging the line towards your boundaries, that isn't love. So, also, their own lifestyle can kind of bring aspects into the picture. And sometimes I do feel sorry for individuals who have been through a lot, who've been through trauma, or, but at the same time, it is, like, it's not your fault, okay? Like, what happened wasn't your fault, but it is your responsibility to get the help that you need. Like I say, or else you're gonna bleed on the people that never hurt you. And the emotional, being the emotional punchy bag, it's not healthy. Okay. I know that you think that you're going to try to help and you're going to try to fix that individual, and I commend you for that, but in the end, it's not helping them and it's not helping you. So, for instance, with the body rejecting individuals, there are physical manifestations. Like, sometimes you can begin to get sick anytime before you hang out with this individual, or even, like, while you are in that individual's presence. And I know it's not, like, that big of a deal, or at least it doesn't seem that big of a deal, because sometimes you may think, at least even, like, last year, I was thinking, okay, like, a little bit of exposure therapy, that's good. I'm just feeling anxious, maybe because of past experiences. It has nothing to do with this individual. It has nothing to do with this guy. You know, I can fix him. I can change him. Yeah. Sweetie, I love you, but you can't. You, like, and I'm saying that to myself. Like, you can't fix that individual. At least not in the way you want to. And it doesn't, like, maybe some things would change, but that's not up to you to have that ball in your court. And like I say, because this individual had been through a lot, I was just like, well, I think what it was, and I'm trying to be completely honest, you know how sometimes people are just there and you know this individual's probably not going to leave you? This is what I have, sometimes I have to, when I was saying keeping things PG, one of my friends told me, I think you PG things in your mind a little bit, Caroline, because then it doesn't seem as bad than if you say it out loud and you actually go there. So I was like, you know what? And this is just my PG version that my brain has kind of thought about. He was just going through a lot. I was just there. And so then I got the projection of all his emotional sometimes you get the emotional dysregulation. And I don't know if necessarily a lot of people regulate their emotions as much as they think or communicate as well as they think that they do all the time. So, like, I told you this. And it's like, well, you might have, but we probably need to be on the same page. Anyway, so there were a lot of things sometimes that were my fault, or even when I would explain it to friends, I didn't know if I was necessarily explaining myself correctly, because they're like, oh, you cried over this? That means that you actually liked the person. And I'm like, I don't think they were tears of happiness. Because every time I was crying, I was like, there's gotta be more than this. I can't. Oh, great. Now I fell into this position again. And sometimes people do recreate their trauma so that then they can have control over that situation. But I wasn't, like, intentionally, like, you know, recreating some trauma. It was just, some things just kind of, like, paraphrase themselves. And you're like, oh, great. Now this again? Okay. I mean, similar, same, but different. You know, and that's kind of what it was like. I've seen a similar movie before. Is it gonna end the same way? Maybe just let it play out, because you don't necessarily know. And then situationships, they are crazy. They do mess with your mental a lot, because you never really know, like, what you mean to the person, and then it's just, but situationships are also where I kind of thrive. Like, it's the weirdest thing. But yeah, this, and also, like, my fight or flight sensation, and I've also had this with friends, so it's not just in relationships, but my fight or flight mechanism, like your sympathetic nervous system, that's like, okay, danger, that was speeding up. I felt anxious. I felt myself returning to some of my unhealthy coping mechanisms. Not a lot of people know this, but I had some very unhealthy coping mechanisms when I was younger. And I am not saying this individual, like, forced me to go back to those patterns. No, I felt myself almost unintentionally, like, thinking about it and, like, reverting back to that pattern. And so I had to reach out to some friends, some people in my corner, because I was like, dude, this is scaring me. I haven't had this, like, thought for a while, like, or these thoughts for a while, at least to that heavy of an extent. And sometimes they will, like, come and go, but it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I know I've been here before and I can see the silver lining. So also, I'm not saying all of your instincts are 100% correct, and sometimes people say not to lead by emotions, but I do, emotions and logic can coexist and they can collaborate with each other if you use them effectively. If you look at the situation, do some introspection, do some journaling, and see, okay, is there anything with these emotions that I need to take into consideration? Have I seen this pattern before? Is it something that is consistent with this individual? If it is, maybe it's your intuition telling you it is time to go. It is time to leave the situation. Now, there have been times where I have forced through, like, my emotions. I forced through because anxiety, panic, because at the end of the day, you know that you're safe and you know that you're in a safe situation, especially if you've never had that experience before with that individual or with those individuals, and all of a sudden you're having this aspect. Sometimes it may be that that the anxiety is lying to you. And also, how long does this last? Is it with the entire visitation or visitation, the entire time that you are in the presence of this individual? Have you had to take breaks? Also, here's another thing. Do you feel safe around this individual? Safe enough to be yourself? Safe enough to have an opinion? Not walking around on eggshells, not waiting for things to hit the ceiling, or even like to wake up tomorrow and maybe this time it will be fine. And that's sometimes what confuses me crazily, is when one time it's fine and then on the other side it's like a major blow up, and I'm just like, okay, what did I do? Because I know it's something that I've done, because it can't be something that they did over here, like, you know. So you have to consistently think about, okay, what did I do? What did I say? Is there something that I could have done differently? Also, if your complexion changes, like if you like had clear skin and all of a sudden like you're breaking out, like because you are around this person, sometimes that is like the sign that your body is rejecting someone. Also, like, I'm not saying bed rotting is always bad, because sometimes rest is important, like, it is. But if you're constantly using it as a disassociation numbing technique, and it's because you were around this person and now you just need to somehow decompress, that is definitely a sign too, that your body could potentially be rejecting this individual. Because you don't know if you want to see this individual. Also, like I say, you're afraid to say anything. Because maybe it may turn out good, but maybe on the flip side, it may be horrible and it's not the thing that you needed. So, also, something else is anxiety. I don't believe that anxiety is this horrible thing. Like, it feels horrible in the moment. But I don't believe that it's always like this shoving, gritting sensation. Basically, it forces us to slow down when everything and sometimes everyone is forcing us to speed up. So when you feel your heart beating like 10 million miles an hour, okay, this is an alert system that you need to listen to, that you need to pay attention to, and say, okay, what can I do in the moment to, first of all, calm myself down? Is this a threat? Do I need to run for safety or protection? Do I need to have a plan of action? And if the answer is yes to all of those things, then a lot of times what you need to do is, first of all, take a breath and know that you're okay. A lot of times what I like to think of it as, especially when you're trying to resolve all of these different situations and what could potentially be going on, how to address the problem, is think about it like dirty, cloudy water, okay? The more that you filter it, the more clear your perspective is going to get. And so a lot of times you do need to focus on that issue. You need to take time to sit with it and see what's potentially going on. Like I say, is this a danger? Is it not? A lot of times what we have been told and is we have, for one, I've seen an article on this of how much younger individuals and the younger generation has struggled with understanding love because it has been overly sexualized and trying to understand, like, you even have like the purple Tate McRae's new song, like the lace bra song, where it literally talks about all the different aspects, and people think that, what, that is that a sexual song? Is it not? It is one of those songs that it's, if you listen to the lyrics, it's deeper, because what it's basically saying is how much we have to, as a society, feel like we have to give up and feel like no one's actually listening, no one's taking us seriously. And even if we did do all those things, they probably still wouldn't hear us. But love has been branded in such a way that we think, okay, this is love. This is what we need to expect from love. I started listening back to NF recently. If you know anything about NF, I think one of his first songs was Mansion. I enjoy that song. It was one of the first songs that I kind of became well acquainted with, and the first song that I related to from NF. In a lot of ways, music is my therapy, so I have a lot of different therapists, and NF has always been one of them. Like, if you look at any of my Spotify raps, if you look at my YouTube music raps, because I changed to YouTube music just this year, but if you listen to even that, or look it over, NF is on the top of the charts pretty much every single year. And the reason why is because he is one of, like, the individuals that I will go to when I'm having hard times. And now, right now, I used to listen to NF because you were going through it at that particular time. And now I listen to NF because I can look at it, I can see the journey that I've been on, and I still connect with it, I still understand the lyrics, but I feel like a lot of times he is a lyrical genius. just in his personification, like even with Mansion, he talks about fear and just, yeah, if you haven't listened to that song, great song. Some people might not like it because it's angry, but I'm a little bit of an NF defender. So anyway, the thing is, I was listening to this thing called Love, and a lot of people, or some people, don't like that song because they think that he's giving these negative affirmations, attributions, not affirmations, negative attributions of love, and saying love is dark like a funeral, love is all these different things, which, if that's what you're hearing from the lyrics, I would definitely encourage you to give it another listen, because I don't believe that's at all what he's saying. Basically, yes, there are negative attributions of love, but sometimes it has been because love has been so manipulated and twisted that we can't even experience love in its true, rawest form that it was meant to be given. Like, I think the first part of the song actually tells you a lot about all the other lyrics that you need to understand. So first of all, it's talking about, if you want to know the outcome of love, it depends on how, and like I say, I'm trying to keep it PG. That's not really that bad, but if you know NF's story, of course he's going to bring that into maybe the situation. But anyway, he says, if you want to know the outcome of love, how you are actually going to use that love, okay? So some people can make it sound like you're drowning. Some people can hold it over you and all these different things. But when you find true love in its purest form, then you know how it feels. And some people think that it's physical, some people think it's this. Like I say, I think he's just giving all the different scenarios of how love has been, how it can be taken, and how it has been mistreated and misevaluated over the years and over time. And probably a lot of it is all the things that he was going through, like, at that particular time. But for one, love is supposed to make you feel safe. And I think this was actually during Christmas, they were saying, oh, well, people mainly want to, like, protect other individuals. Like, there's this built-in need. And I'm thinking, it depends on the individual. Like, for sure. Because some people will want to protect you. And sometimes there's a love that you need to be protected from. And you kind of need to know the difference. Like I say, if you feel like you're always on edge, a lot of those times, that is your body trying to give you warning signals that maybe you need to get up and go. Maybe it's not a safe situation. Maybe it's not a safe environment for you. And even if you have, like, questions, or you feel continually out of your mind, maybe being devalued is, or minimized, like, you can't be the happy-go-lucky person that you are, because no one wants that. No one wants people with X, Y, and Z. And if that's truly, like, how you feel, then maybe, and
if that's how the individual. Now, obviously, there are several different situations with this, like anything. But if there's a continual, like, pattern that you see, and that you don't feel like you can be yourself and be loved, and you've lost that sense of accomplishment, you've lost that sense of belonging, and obviously, no, you shouldn't put your trust in other individuals, or you shouldn't have, that individual shouldn't be your sole purpose or your primary reason for living. But at the end of the day, it is also comforting to know that maybe deep down, someone actually loves and respects you for the person that you are. And I would encourage you, like, to find people, even if it's not necessarily, like, romantically. Of course, like, you can, like, be seeking that. But, like, you should always feel free to just, like, be who you are. I know even some of, like, people that I've been around, they've been like, hey, you need to find people that allow you to be free. And sometimes I've noticed that when I've taken a step away from certain people that changed, like, my demeanor, my whole interactions, this is why some people call them wet blankets, because that's what it feels like. It's like, okay, I feel like every single time that I'm around you, I just feel like icky and, like, insecure, and I feel more confident when I'm not around you than when I am, because I feel like I have to press myself down and glue all of my emotions, everything, stash it away in a box. And I don't think that's how you're supposed to be. I don't think that's how love is supposed to feel. Like, I'm not saying that it's always, like, this dick is high, like, where you're on an adrenaline rush 24/7, but at the same time, it can't be all lows. There has to be some balance in the middle of, like, knowing, okay, this is where I stand, this is what I'm willing to put up with, this is what I'm not, these are my boundaries. And if you feel like someone's consistently, like, crossing those boundaries too, or, like, you have to, this is a weird one, but if you feel like you have to keep your eye on them, and it's not like, oh, like, I think you're cute, I want to keep, no, it's like, I have really severe trust issues with you, and that's why I need to make sure that I have an escape route if things go south, that it's not true love. Like I say, for the most part, love is meant to be, like, full of life, and I have done some work on, like, oh, maybe I was just being over dramatic, maybe, and I've, like, done these, ask people some different questions. So if you are struggling to know, okay, is this right? Is this supposed to be correct? Ask some people that are going to give you almost hard truths, okay? I have, and why I say almost hard truths is because there were some people that will